reading is from 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 16. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourishing on the truth of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to public reading of scriptures, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Good morning, everyone. I'm Andy Stillwell. I'm the youth mission leader for one more week. It's been a surreal week this week. It really has. I thought this morning when I got up, I thought, right, I need a shower because I smell. And then I thought, do I dress like I'm going to have to dress for the rest of my life in trousers? And I opted for my shiny new ones and a new pair of Converse. So I've remained me. And hopefully, wherever I end up, I'll be able to wear shorts again one day. Let me just pray to begin. Heavenly Father, I just pray for...
in this place, online, and wherever it goes. Amen. And apparently, Rob did say that I could speak on absolutely anything I wanted today. And I did wonder about just talking about my holiday. And I need to remember, online, stand still. But I thought you might want a little bit more than hearing about my bodyboarding escapades and random things in Bude, Cornwall. So I chose this passage because actually it's a passage that's close to my heart. It's a passage that came out of my sabbatical and one that shaped the youth vision over the last few years. And there's something in there that I really wanted to share before I go. If whoever comes on next decides to change that, there is actually some good in there that we all need to hear. Quick question to start. You can chat to the person you're sitting with or just ponder it in your mind. Who is Paul to Timothy and Titus? What were they like? What are your assumptions or thoughts about who Paul, Timothy and Titus were? Just ponder that while I move this stand. So you've pondered, you might have chatted. Everyone stayed fairly quiet in the worship area in case you didn't hear that online. Probably something along the lines, you're thinking something along the lines of this. Paul, a great man of God, who had a radical transformation. He was really excited about God's word and sharing God's love and preaching the gospel. Someone who shared his life completely with those he met and completely with those who were in his family, in Timothy and Titus. And relating and releasing them into what they could do. He was into the recycling game. He took people and he set them on a new path. And he encouraged them to be all they could be. Timothy and Titus were very different people. They were two very different characters. And they had two very different settings and circumstances. Leading two different, very different bunches of people. They were very, very different places. And yet these words would encourage them both. And they had different talents and challenges and needs and everything. But they were both God-fearing people who believed wholeheartedly in the love and care that God has for us because of the sacrifice he made through Jesus to help us journey towards eternity. They all believed in that wholeheartedly. All three of those people listened to and followed the Holy Spirit's prompting. They listened out for God. They didn't just get really, really busy, which is something most people know that I'm very, very good at. They waited and they listened to what the Spirit was saying. And then they followed. There were people like Andrew talked about last week who completely trusted in God's grace, love, his word, the sacrifice, and the way he leads. They didn't trust in the world's instruction. The letter was an encouragement. It's a call to reach out with the good news of Jesus. It's a call to be completely who God created them to be and who God creates us to be, no matter what. No matter the doubts, the fears, any barriers that stood in the way, nothing should come between us and who God sees us as. We just need to listen to him and find out what he's got to say. It's a letter that challenges both those that read it to become focused on training, both physically, but actually more importantly, spiritually. But also, we can coach others in their spiritual journey, can't we? We can come alongside people, lift them up and develop them, no matter what our age. We can coach people, and it's an encouragement to move towards living a godly life and be an example to those around us. Psalm 119 begins, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." It continues to talk about living according to God's word, asking God to unlock and reveal his word, reveal greater understanding to us, telling us by keeping his laws and living out the best possible godly life we can, it offers us the greatest possible freedom we can have. So we can have great freedom through following the Bible, through following what God says, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That kind of sounds really simple in some ways when you say it out loud, doesn't it? It's like, oh, it must be really, really easy. Just listen to the Holy Spirit, do what God says, totally trust him, and we can be like the apostles and Jesus. It's that easy, isn't it? I mean, everyone surely finds it that easy, don't you? Little chuckles in the worship area, in case you couldn't hear that. Anyway, so that's sorted. So that's the Bible bit. So now back to my holiday. So it was the first time in 2 years we managed to get to the sea, and I loved it. Bodyboarding most days, fires on the beach. We even got a free surfboard that the sea had decided to wash up by late one night. And we're running up and down. This long, steep hill was not the highlight because Nate had left his jumper at the bottom and the tide was coming in. He was very concerned because it was a sole survivor one. And actually, not the last... it's just amazing. It was a fantastic time. But I love the water, in case... If you know me, you know that anything, I find peace when I'm in the water and mecking around in boats, water fights, anything. It gives me energy and a sense of release and freedom. For me, it's a great place to draw near to God and listen, even if it is in the midst of 7-foot waves. In our first day in Cornwall, we got to feel the real power of God, of God's creation. The sea, the waves, 6-7 foot waves, they were amazing. Even Libby, who's normally quite brave, decided to give up and leave the water. And there's so much power in there, isn't there? And every single drop has potential. You have great waves, but they're made up of droplets of water. That drop has the potential to change the shape of things it comes into contact with. When it gathers together, like in waves or whatever form it might take. And when it really gets moving, it can move mountains. If I'm honest, I've always found things difficult. And a few years ago, I would have definitely been the last person to say, I'm going off to be ordained. Because I always struggled with various different things. Lots of things, but some things I found easy. I've found out recently that my brain's wired differently to everybody's. I know everyone's unique, but actually mine's significantly different. And I find technical things, so dancing around at the back with all the technology is my comfort place. Preparing a sermon and standing up here to talk to you lot is definitely not. And that's something I've got to step out and trust in, that God has that in store for me in the future. And I've sometimes doubted my impact because of that belief in who I was as a minister. And then I had a little droplet of encouragement over my holiday. It was absolutely amazing. I can't say much about it, but someone messaged me on Facebook completely out of the blue and just said, thank you. And it was a young person from many, many years ago, and I was truly amazed at what they said. And it held great weight. And they said, simply said, the encouragement, love, care, and example you shared with me has made me the person I am today. I may not be at church, but you and a couple of other people have made that difference to me, and I wouldn't be here if not for that. Now, what was behind that? I had no ideas, but actually, it was just a little droplet that held great weight on a not-so-sunny day in Cornwall in my life. So God has. And all I did was just be me. I just did what I do, because that's who I am. And the things, I listened a little bit, the things that came in front of me that I was just watching for and just being Andy about actually held great weight. Yeah, I did some listening to God and I sought and asked him some questions and he guided me in that. But actually, I just waited on him and was the person I was created by him to be. And that changed the life for good. Trying to live out the good news through being an example in the way we live, what we say, how we love, how we live out our faith changes the shape of lives. And we gather when we gather together with others willing to be themselves, come with their faults and fears, and do what they can, seeking God and listening to the Spirit, just like Paul, Timothy, and Titus did, the waves get bigger. Bigger things happen, bigger changes happen, and that's when we can see the mountains move. And that's what I wanted to share today, because often, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, so I'm going to read my script rather than get excited, sorry. I think it's impossible to look at Paul's words here and go, oh, it's a word for the young. And we've used it as a passage for the youth. And actually, Timothy wasn't that young. He was about 30, apparently. That's a surprise. That's the older ones laughing. And actually, that word is the key reason to shape the youth ministry. Because actually, I wanted young people to be that example to other believers. To stand up and go, actually, I've got faith. I'm not afraid to share it and hide it. So actually, this is me. This is what I love. This is who I am. And this is what God's saying to me. But actually, my thinking about it has shifted. And it shifted mostly over my holiday. That actually, it's encouragement to young people, yes. And actually, what's been revealed to it through it to me, and what I want to reveal to you, and you'll probably already guess where I'm going, is everybody listening today is young in some way, shape, or form. Every one of us. If you put that in the context of, if I walk up to you and go, can you go and run vMix at the back, please? That's the live streaming software. You will be young in your experience of vMix. If we said, actually, can you come and play keys? There might be some one or two people out there that can plinky-plink the keys a bit, but actually, if we said, right, come and lead worship, you are young in leading worship or playing the keys. All of us are young in one way, shape, or form. Like I say, maybe not in age, but in experience, confidence, understanding. But you are also experienced, confident, knowledgeable, and mature all at the same time in something that I'm not, that the person next to you is not. So your kids are able to do things that you can't. Young people can do things that you can't. And the same for children and young people. They can't do things that they've not experienced, that you've experienced, but you can help them, lead them, coach them in godly ways. Through using your skills and experiences and a little bit of faith and just stepping out, you can change the shape of another person's life. You might not ever hear about that, but you can do that. If you trust and follow the Spirit's prompting. The Bible tells us we're unique and wonderfully made with the capacity to access all that God has prepared for us. We can all be an example to everyone, like I've said. We can all be an example in what we say, what we do, how we love, how we share our faith, serve and live out a godly life. We just need to listen to God's voice. Believe in ourselves. Don't doubt the power that you have in all the experiences, all the knowledge, all the things that you have done. Don't ever, ever doubt that, no matter what your age, gift, skills, or abilities. You have something to share with someone that will be a droplet that could come together with other droplets and hold great strength. Because actually, you don't know that little drop that you drop in to God's flow and movement and his kingdom. You don't know what will happen. So be an example to others in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, purity, treating other believers just like family, and see what God does, is what I wanted to say today. I've just got a question to finish, and then I'll run away back to hide behind the sound desk or somewhere over there for one more week. What excites you? I've talked about what excited Paul, Timothy and Titus. I've talked about what excites me. What excites you? Think about what Joe's sketch was at the start. What makes you want to get up in the morning? Where do you feel the Spirit's prompting, but doubt the impact that that thing might have, or that you might have? Is it worship? Is it serving others? Is it baking? Is it time, spending time with children or young people? What is it that God might be saying through the things that you love doing, have experience in, or are able to share that might benefit or bless somebody else? There might be a million and one other things. I couldn't go through it all now because I would be here forever. But what is in those places? What's in those things that make us want to get up, make us excited? What might God's kingdom look like if we all, in this place and online and a part of this church family, got excited about doing our thing? What might God's kingdom look like if we listened to the Spirit and did that and just followed? What is God calling you into in this new season as we begin to gather post-pandemic? What might Christ the kingdom look like if we all listen to the Spirit and follow his prompting and calling? Amen.